The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
So, hello and welcome everyone to this very, very special NPL show brought to you by EvoStick and Farsley Celtic. Hey. Yes. So we're here live on Friday evening at the Integro Dudeson League Cup final between Marine and Scarborough. It's the NPL Premier Division against Division 1 North. And joining me to discuss this fixture now, we've got James Hayes with us from the NPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
Very rushed, actually, believe it or not. It's been a busy night in Leeds. So we're
a bit behind. I'm a bit flustered. I'm not happy that my laptop's going to fall off this table any second now. So we've got live coverage coming up. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Swampy and Roy Sewell are also here, but they're currently networking because Dave Waters is here as well. And Dave Waters is wearing a smart suit with the league's official tie. So you've got to talk to Dave Waters. You can't just ignore him. So, James, let's kick things off with a preview for the playoff finals tomorrow. Salford City against Workington. We've got interviews coming up in a second or two for the podcast listeners only, okay? But we have an interview with Jono straight after the match on Tuesday night, and we've also got an interview with the Workington manager as well coming up. But your thoughts on tomorrow's playoff final?
It's going to be a lot different game than it was on Tuesday night for Salford. Workington play a lot different style than Ashton do, so it's going to be a real tough test for him. Workington obviously travelling long distances for both playoff games where they had the upsets against them, but they'll be going into Salford tomorrow to go out and win. I mean, both teams will, obviously, but I think Workington we'll have that bit more behind them, especially if they've just snuck into the playoffs and they'll have a point to prove. But both sides have got experienced players, and it's going to be a battle between the two forwards again.
And the thing is, with the way Workington came back on Tuesday, I mean, the commentary BBC Cumbria provided was superb. but the way that they, it was such an advert for the league, it was almost regrettable that we lived so far away from Blythe and we couldn't go to it ourselves. But it was another cracking advert for the league. Both semi-finals have been corkers.
It was indeed. I mean, obviously, no one can have predicted that Workington as well, obviously, especially the last 10, 15 minutes where goals were just flying in left, right and centre. So again, that's going to work to Workington, knowing that they can score goals. They have done all season. I think out of the top five teams, I think either second or third in goals, only behind Downs themselves, obviously, who won the league. So naturally, you're going to be looking at, that's what Workington will be going out to go and attack Salford.
And we're going to speak to Jono now. We interviewed him straight after that match on Tuesday evening between Salford City and Ashton United. It finished 3-1 to Salford. So for podcast listeners only, this is what Jono had to say.
Well done tonight, Jono. Through to the final, as you would have hoped, I guess. Yeah. What's your mood like after that?
I'm buzzing. I mean, you know, a great place. Obviously, we didn't want to go to extra time, if possible, but sides like Ashton don't lie down for you. It was a tough game, really tough 90 minutes. You know, I think at the end of the season, people expect to see sort of a grand finale, you know, great football all the time, but you've got two sides who've played 60-odd games, tired bodies, a lot of injuries. I think we showed an extra time our fitness and the way we dominated them. You know,
quality finishing.
Great. The last two goals, Seddon's and across, you know, what Jordan did with the keeper. I didn't dancing all over the place, but, you know, our fitness level showed in the end.
Well, you brought Gums into the team tonight, and he was my man of the match. I thought he was absolutely outstanding, a young lad, showed his quality. You've got to be very proud of the player. Come in, you've lost your skipper, and he's actually had a skipper's performance.
I've just said on our interview there, I've just mentioned him there when they mentioned about Chris Lynch being available for the final. For an 18-year-old lad, because that's what they are, an 18-year-old kid to come in and play the way he did against an experienced football side and perform like, not just defensively, but the way he gets on the ball, the way he tries to get us playing from the back. He's a great kid, he's a brilliant lad. I keep calling him a kid, he's a man. He looks like a man. But he played like a man. I think that was the most important thing. You know, we had no deal. On Saturday we threw him centre midfield down at Stourbridge, and he was class in there. Jordan played right back. We threw him back to right back tonight. I had no second thoughts of playing the lad. He's been brilliant since he's come in.
Does it give you a big headache now though for the Saturday for the playoff final if Lynch is back, if he's fit enough to play? Is it a big headache now who you bring in and who you don't?
I can't see being right. Lynch is telling it. I think the rumours start with him telling everyone that he's going to be fit. He stopped. That third goal's gone in. We've all gone running all over celebrating. He stopped halfway. He's not going to be right. I hope, you know, everyone wants him right. But as you said there, when someone plays like that, you've got to pick the right team, I suppose. But he's put in a brilliant performance, and I'm sure if he was dropped for a player who's 20% fit, that he'd be devastated. So we'll try and do the right things, and we want our captain involved. Of course, we do, but you know, it's we can only do what the players we've got.
And a big result tonight at Croft Park with Workington winning. So that means you're going to have home advantage for the playoffs. We were at the last time as Workington came here. Yeah. It was a bit of an epic, evening. Yeah. What are you expecting?
Somewhat probably similar, to be honest. It's one of them. You know, I just said to the lads, it was the same with these. And I think Ashton tried to hype it up that we beat them twice in the league, that we may be overconfident. We don't operate like that. I know there's a lot of things thrown at Salford about the money, which is right. But we don't prepare to, and say that sides are just going to roll up because we beat them twice before. And it won't be the same with Workington. I mean, we beat them 4-1 at their place, 5-2 here. And in neither game, they were that, you know, they could have gone either way. So we'll prepare right. We'll show them the respect they deserve. To go to Blyth on a Tuesday night, and they've only just scraped in the playoffs and do what they've done, they deserve the utmost respect, and they're a massive non-league club, you know, so we've got to be at our best again.
One of the things you did tonight, which was I thought was very, very important, was key, was to nullify Dean, and you did that really from the world go. I mean, he had one opportunity in the second half. It's a great volley, hit the crossbar, but apart from that, you've got to be really pleased with your seven defensive partnership, that they just didn't give him a single sniff really at any opportunity.
If we've got James Dean hitting, it's in shots from 20 yards, you know, our back four's done the job. If it goes in, it's a great strike. As you said there, he's not had anything on target. He's not got a chance to get in. He's a monster of a centre forward. I think it's more important what he does for Pilkington as well, you know, helping things on. And I mean, I think we've conceded 4 goals in 10 games now, and they've all come from headers off set pieces. So we said that would be the most dangerous way to get him off Dino through to Pilkington or a set piece, and it sort of proved, you know, that we were right. But defensively, I thought we were excellent. You know, as I say, it was a battle. It was a right battle, weren't it, for the first 90 minutes? And I think in the last 30, they looked tired. We could up the tempo. We've got some machines in the team, in Gary Stockford and Scott Burton, who kept pushing us on forward on the front foot. And I'd like to think, I'm not being biased, you know, I paid Ashton the respect they deserve because they're a top side, but I think our quality and our fitness showed in extra time.
Well, my fitness is leaving me, I'm afraid. My hand's nearly falling off. Though, oh, I'm freezing. Come
very
on.
Quick question. Your remit at the beginning of the season was to get the team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You've done that. You're now in the playoff final. Is a further expectation now from what you put upon yourself, obviously, but from the guys that are there tonight, you know, the class of 92 there watching tonight, is there additional pressure now on you to go on and win it, or is it the same pressure in regards to, you know, getting to the playoffs and, you know, you've done your job this season?
Well, actually, does it help?
I think if you're Workington and you're scraping the last game of the season, you get beat in the final or semi-final, you're devastated. You don't think, well, we've had a good season. Nobody does that. They'll be here to win. Blyth were there to win tonight, and Ashton were here to win tonight, and we'll be the same on Saturday. I don't think it matters who your owners are, your chairman is, how much money you've got, what your ground looks like, how many supporters you have. We was at Ramy, finished fifth, and won promotion through the playoffs. I think Curzon last year in this league finished fourth or fifth.
Yeah, they won it in penalties last.
So it doesn't really matter where you finish in the playoffs. You know, I know people say, but oh well, Blyth finished 25 points in front of Workington. It's not right. Of course, it's right. The playoffs have been there for 25 years. Everyone's got the same chance. I know it's a cliche and nobody likes them, but that's just the way it is. You know, they'll come here and they'll have a right go at us. Do you know what? I can't wait.
It should be a great afternoon. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not going to be here because we've got our own issues. But have a enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah.
And good luck on Saturday.
Cheers, fellas. Thanks for that.
Comfortable. He was in confident mood there.
Very confident. I mean, he has been all season. Again, Salford have been in second, third place for the majority of the season, so they've had a lot more time to prepare for this. And say the likes of Ashton, Stalbridge, and Blyth. Again, Blyth were looking to go for the league, so obviously a lot more planning available. They've got a bigger squad available at this moment in time with a bit more depth, so obviously ability to change. So I can see where Jono's coming from there with regards to his confidence. But again, he cannot underestimate Workington with the ability that they've got.
That's Salford City, they're the host. What of the visitors tomorrow? Workington, bit of a... I don't think you can call them the surprise package of the playoffs. No. Even though there was a 13-point difference between Workington and Blyth, Workington... very credible side this season, and very very difficult to dismiss in any fixture. Yeah. Well, I spoke to Derek Townsley today, and here's what he had to say on the eve of this fixture.
So, visiting Salford City this weekend for this massive player final, we've got a team from the west coast of Cumbria, Workington, and joining me now to discuss Workington's chances in this big EvoStick MPL playoff final. We're now joined by the manager. It's Derek Townsley. Hello, Derek. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Not so bad, thanks.
So first things first, a big, massive congratulations for that epic performance on Tuesday up at Croft Park.
Great, yeah, thanks very much. It was certainly it was a great game for the neutrals, Ben, in that, given the scoreline. Didn't do my stress levels much good, but obviously pleased with the outcome.
We listened to the Radio Cumbria commentary on the night, and it just sounded like a mad game, in particular the second half as well.
Certainly the kind of the end to the game was there was plenty of drama, shall we say, but it was a cracking game. It was a cracking encounter, played in great spirit by both teams. I mean, Blyth, they're a very good side. They didn't finish second top with 99 points for nothing, so we knew it was going to be a tough one, mate. But it was a really really good game.
Now, going into the playoffs, it was obviously a very tight running for that final playoff spot with Stourbridge and Ashton United in the mix as well. With Blyth just being pipped to the post, we had this theory about teams who were just pipped to the post versus teams who have a bit of momentum going into the playoffs. Do you think that was the case on Tuesday?
Possibly, I think, Ben, because we did have a good finish to the season. We won the last three games in the last week of the season. But, I mean, if you cast your mind back 12 months ago, we were the team sitting in second. We finished second to FC United and missed out by a point. So we were very much in the same situation as Blyth were this time around. But, I mean, from our own point of view, I suppose, given a couple of weeks ago, we were probably looking like we were probably just going to miss out. I mean, we've suffered injuries and things like that. And I suppose people would have looked and thought the wheels were starting to come off. So, again, Salford done us a real good turn the last day of the season by beating Stourbridge, which enabled us to get that fifth spot. So it's always one of them, really, Ben, when your kind of destiny is in someone else's hands. It's a bit tricky, shall we say. Far better that it's in your own hands. But of course, going in the last week of the season, it was very much in other teams'. But obviously, kind of lady luck kind of shined on us a bit, and again, we were delighted to nick that fifth spot.
Now, I mentioned to you off air that we saw Salford City against Workington last month, which from memory, if it finished 5-3, it was a very fast paced game and very entertaining to watch. When it comes to Tuesday night's match, you've got Scott Allison, obviously. I think that was that his fifth hat trick this season. I think it was.
Yeah.
So you've clearly got a very, very good team here. What's your mood going into this final against Salford?
I mean, well, like we just mentioned previously there, Ben, we've finished the season in good form, which thankfully we've taken into Tuesday night. Now, I think from both, I mean, the last scoreline probably tells you that. You look at both teams, and the probably their assets are going forward. They've got a lot of quality. Certainly going forward, and we've like to feel that we've got a threat as well in some of our attacking players. So that maybe makes for a decent encounter, but one that we're no doubt it'll be very, very tough. I mean, the last encounter, again, we can go on about, we felt maybe one or two decisions went against us that night, but again, that doesn't take away from the fact that they're a very good side.
And we should mention as well, it's been a very good league this season. I mean, we said on the show with the four teams in the playoffs, it was clubs with pedigree. This one here, this final on Saturday, you've got Salford City, who obviously are the young upstarts in a way with the class of 92. But Workington, as a football club, really, pedigree-wise and calibre-wise, you should be at least two levels higher. So this is a really big game, this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, given ourselves, I know obviously Salford they've obviously come to prominence these last kind of few years with the class in 92 and things like that, as where we are, in a sense, we are kind of steeped in a lot of history. I mean, an ex-league club and all the rest of it, if we want to kind of go way back. But I mean, in terms of the league itself as well, Ben, we feel that it's been very competitive this year, and we feel a lot stronger than it was last year. I mean, for example, take kind of Stourbridge have finished outside the playoffs on, I think, 84 points.
Yes.
Now, if you'd have said at the start of the season that you'd end up with 80, you'd have took 84 points. But given the fact how it's mapped out, it's quite incredible that they've missed out on the playoffs with finishing with that total. So I think that tells you all you need to know about the league this year, Ben, in that it has been very strong and a lot of good sides.
Absolutely. I mean, we could throw Nantwich in the mix as well with their cup exploits as well as Stourbridge's. Yeah. I mean, I think Stourbridge and Nantwich have beaten five conference sides this season between them. So it's certainly an epic league. And the other thing we should say as well about Workington, the last couple of seasons, we've seen teams come out of the National North and literally go straight through. I can think of Stafford Rangers and Drolsden and Hyde and Colwyn Bay. What's been the secret of Workington? Because last season, like you said, you had a really strong year, and this season it's been a strong year. How have you managed that transition?
I'm not sure I can put my finger on the reason why with that, Ben. But I mean, yeah, that is a good point. It's certainly, again, it's certainly very evident at the minute with Hyde and Colwyn Bay. But I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that, and I don't know. Again, maybe why them two teams have struggled this year, dropping out of there. Because, I mean, I think naturally you would expect teams coming down, dropping down a level to be competitive. But we're just very fortunate in that the group we've got and the same group that we've had, certainly for a couple of years anyway, while I've been involved and things. So, but as the answer to that, Ben, I really don't know. I really don't know.
It's immaterial anyway. The most important thing's this Saturday at Moor Lane. A big crowd coming down from Cumbria as well. And just a quick mention, we spoke to Alex Graham a while ago during the flood situation. And because at that time, there were some first teamers who were struggling to get to the ground, wasn't there? How have you juggled that side of things as well?
Yeah, that was just one of them things, really, which was very, very unfortunate. Given that the county as a whole suffered at that time. But it is one of them things, mate, where you kind of all kind of pull together and it makes you more determined in some ways when you are up against the odds, things such as that.
Well, good luck this weekend, Derek. As I said to you off air, we've got Jono on this week's show as well, so there's no favouritism with regards to Lady Luck or anything like that, or jinxing you. We wish both sides all the best. It's been a cracking year, Derek, and well, all the best this weekend.
Yeah, again, let's hope it is a good encounter and a fitting finale to the season. I mean, obviously, I'll be hoping we get the rub of the green and the Salford lads will be feeling much the same, but yeah, let's hope it's a great tie and may the best team win, Ben.
Derek Townsley, manager at Workington, thanks for joining us this week on the Evo Stick MPL show.
Great, thanks, mate. Cheers.
Derek Townsley there, manager at Workington AFC. So that's the Premier Division. We'll be speaking to Swampy and Roy in a second or two about their thoughts on tomorrow's playoff final. Just to mention then for Division 1 South. Now, Division 1 South tomorrow, it's second against third. It's the ideal scenario for any playoffs. Yeah. It's Shore Lane against Colville Town, and like Salford against Workington, I feel all the pressure is on one side in this match.
Again, with what happened midweek, obviously Colville romping 5-0 winners against Basford in their semi-final. It's going to be a very, very tough ground because, again, as most people know, Shore Lane's ground doesn't hold water too well. So again, it's going to affect how the game gets played. But with the quality that Shore Lane have got available, you've got to stay. Again, they've got all the pressure on them to perform tomorrow. Colville, they've been here again, similar to Workington, the last four or five seasons. We've been around the playoffs, if not in the final of the playoffs, and lost it on the last kick of the ball or last couple of minutes. So naturally, again, that's going to be another close affair between the two teams.
And as you've alluded to there, it's not a foregone conclusion by any means. Colville have trodden these boards before. Oh, I like that phrase. Yeah. They've trodden these boards before. And it's like we said, all the pressure's on Shore Lane. But they've got the players to cope with all this, haven't they?
I mean, obviously, players that Shore Lane have been included in the Premier League playoffs in the past. Obviously, you've got internationals Joel, an international in the form of Adam Priestley, who's then well regarded in the MPL. Teams who have taken part in the Premier playoffs last season, the season before. So they've got an experienced enough side to go in there. But again, Colville have been getting adapted to this situation season in, season out.
And just to mention then for Division 1 North. Now, Division 1 North, again, it's the ideal scenario. It's second against third. It's Spennymoor against Northwich Victoria. Strangely, Northwich Victoria has pretty much had They flew out the blocks in the first half of the season. Spennymoor have done. Yeah, their second half has been just as good as Norwich's first half of the season. They've overlapped pretty much as the season was coming towards the end. The Spennymoor surge, we called it here on this podcast. It's a tricky one to predict, this one.
It is indeed. I mean, Norwich were leading the league for most of the first part of the season as well, until Jim Gannon's departure. So you've got Adam Waitland, who's in there at the moment, with not the... It doesn't necessarily have the experience as such as a manager, and that's where this difference can make effect. Spennymoor coming back midweek against Spurs, who obviously took the shock early on. Spennymoor have got that versatility to change the game. Again, you've got to edge Spennymoor, I reckon.
You have to edge. I think you're right about edging Spennymoor, but there's also the factor of, to put it bluntly, the last 2 months at Norwich Victoria have been difficult for the club, let's put it that way. And when you have that kind of backdrop, I could point to Northampton Town, the club's borderline going into administration, yet they were top of the league at one point this season. It can have a galvanising effect with the team, can't it?
It can do as well. So it depends, again, the players who were left behind from Jim Gannon after his departure to Stockport early in the season. So again, I think that's where... I reckon Spennymoor could edge it tomorrow, purely on the experience and pressure. Again, Lakeland's done a fantastic job in the past that clubs have been in. Helped Curzon get up last year. Blackburn Ladies to sixth in the old FA Premier League for the women. But looking at it, Spennymoor, again, a team that have done it season in, season out. But it's not beyond Norwich to cause an upset.
What's your predictions for tomorrow? Before we bring in Roy and Swampy later on in the broadcast for the podcast, what's your prediction?
Obviously, I'll start with Division 1 North, spending more to win that game. Again, purely on the fact they've got the experience in the team. In Division 1 South, I can see that being a draw in the 90 minutes, and then potentially, that's if Colville are going to get anything from that, it'll be an extra time. But if not, Shawlane will win it in normal. In the Premier, it depends on what sides come out straight away, because then both teams will be going out for it. Workington, they've spent too long in this division now, but the experiences with Salford, again, players like Danny Webber and Gareth Seddon will know what it's like to play in high-key games. And even Danny Webber's been in the Champions League final.
And we're going to mention this in a second or two again, but it's also going to be the Premier Division playoff final. That's going to be available on Salford Amish Radio, on the MixLR, on 26-0 and BBC Radio Cumbria. It's going to be a proper event on Saturday afternoon. So if you can't make it to Moor Lane in Kersal in Salford, tune into one of those fine radio stations.
As well as Whitby Town Radio as
enjoy
well.
Yourself. Oh, and Whitby Town Radio, of course. And enjoy yourself. But anyway, we're here tonight for the Dudeson, Marine against Scarborough. And, well, this one's an interesting one, because both teams are well up for this. It's going to be full strength lineups. Scarborough are missing a couple of players. They've got a bit of an injury crisis. That's why they've only got 3 substitutes on the bench. But this one could be a very interesting game. From your Division 1 North perspective, what do you make of Scarborough this season?
They've got a lot to prove tonight to get something out of the game, but they've massively underperformed this year. With the budget they've got and the expectations of them, they should have been in the playoffs quite easily, in my opinion. But looking at the way they got to the final, we've got to the final tonight, 3 penalty shootouts against Premier sides and a good 2-0 win against Ossett Albion. And Ossett Albion this year have been one of the better teams in the Division 1 North. So they've proven that they are capable of winning this competition.
And it's an interesting one for Marine as well, because, based on this season, it's been, despite where Marine have finished in the league, everyone's been saying the same thing about Marine. They'll be fine. They've had a decent season despite where they were in the league. And it's just a case now of, can they get some silverware at the end of it? It's going to top off a bit of a fine season for Marine, really.
A lot of the Marine fans say it's been 35 years since they've last been in the NPL final as well, so a bit of history to prove there. However, looking at how they've finished the season, they are the on-form team in the Premier. I don't think they've lost in the last 6, if you want to check. I don't have my stats sheet with me.
You always do this. You always come out with stats, and then I have to go and check during the edit. Is he right with that stat? Now, we're at Farsley Celtics ground tonight, and normally we're at Stockport Counter. We have been at Stockport Counter for the last 2 years. I'm going to suggest, though, that a ground this size, it's... the atmosphere is better.
Yeah, I mean, they've held it okay a couple of times as well. I think the last time I was here was when North Ferry B beat Curzon in the final. I mean, just looking down the bottom end, when people come in, there's still queues getting in. The pie queue
was horrendous, James. When I got here, I was so gutted. The pie queue was horrendous, folks. Yeah.
But Marina brought quite easily three, nice 200-300 down. And looking at the behind the north goal, I believe it is, near the supporters bar, Sky were absolutely packing out the most in the back end. It's only going to get busy before the end of the game. So it's going to be a better atmosphere. But again, we've had a dire 1-1 draw in the final a couple of 2 years ago. Last year was probably one of the best 0-0s I've seen, with a Warrington winning it. But all depends, let's see what happens tonight. Two teams here again, they've both got something to prove.
Well, James Hayes, thank you for that. As we await our commentary team, who seemingly are just busy networking and are not bothering with, you know, G-ing up the excitement, allowing me the freedom to fix the Wi-Fi issue here or anything, just letting me do this single job. Anyway, James Hayes, thank you.
Always.
It's now time to bring in our commentary team for this evening's festivities, starting off with Swamper. Hello, Swamper.
Ben, we've got radio royalty to our right again. It's John Helm. He's here to watch the game this evening. Oh, where's my team sheet just blown off to?
Oh, Swamper.
James
T-Got's nicked it. Thank you very much, T-Got. Well, good evening to you, Ben. Good evening to you and to everybody else out there. Good atmosphere to my left-hand side. The Scarborough fans, well, in great, great voice. And to our right-hand side, we've got, again, a good contingent of Marine fans and well, a fan, two fan zone clubs, two community football clubs in this Dootson final on well, a rather blustery cold evening, and we're in the, what's now known, going to be known as the Ronnie Corbett press suite, because we sat down, and you know when you're at school and you're in nursery, that's how low we are. It's incredible.
So welcome back to Farnsley Celtic. It's currently 0-0 here at the Integro Dootson Sports Cup final. Boom. And we've got a special guest with us. Not you, James. Would you like to introduce yourself to the dear listener at home?
My name's John Helm. And a name unknown to millions.
So, you commentate all around the world. What brings you to Farsley?
Well, five good reasons. One, I only live about 5 miles away.
That's so a good
so
reason.
It's very handy. Two, I used to watch Scarborough a lot and commentated, funnily enough, on their first ever Football League game against Wolverhampton Wanderers going back into the 80s. And three, I love my local football. I am involved with Bradford Park Avenue, and I like to get to around. So last week I went to Ecclesfield United and Silsden, and here I am tonight at Throstle Nest. I know it's not called that anymore, but it was Throstle Nest, the home of Farsley Celtic.
Still called Throstle Nest, I think, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it is, but you never know these days, do you?
That's true.
Well, you talk about your football, where you go around the world. Swampy this week, this is his last stand. You know, Swampy, the commentator there, it's his last stand. He's going off to China. So this week, he did the Manchester Saturday FA Challenge Trophy between Ilham Steel and Wivenshaw Town on Monday. Then where did he go? Salford v Ashton?
Tuesday
to do commentary. Then Wednesday, the Manchester Premier Cup final, mostly against Staley Bridge. And he's here tonight.
You're saying he's an anorak or a footballaholic?
A bit sad, I think, what I'm trying to say. But what do you make of tonight's
game? Well, I'm still waiting for it to get going, in a way. I thought Scarborough attacked it better to start with. They look like the home team. Marine look like the away team. If anything, I'm a bit disappointed in Marine, because they've got two good strikers in Mitchley and Owens. I think Mitchley's the top scorer in the league. He's got 24 goals, something like that. But apart from one save that Matt Glennon made from Mitchley, and apart from one shot from Owens which zoomed over the top of the crossbar, Scarborough have looked very, very comfortable and very organised, and I think they've been on top for the majority of the half.
And you wouldn't think they were separated, but how many places did we work this out?
Roughly about 23, I believe.
23 places. Scarborough, they've struggled this season in Division 1 North.
I think they're down third from bottom or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And Marine's had a bit of a kind of... They've been down the bottom, but they're not really...
But they had a good run lately. I was talking to the gentleman who is covering them, and I think he said they've only lost two of the last 20 or something like that. So you'd expect them to be on top.
So it is a bit disappointing the way Marine have come to this game tonight. Yeah. They've kind of defended a bit and looked to counter attack. But the main talking points in that first half were the two penalty shouts. One of them was a push in the back, which a referee rarely gives in that kind of situation. Yeah. But there was definitely a penalty there, wasn't there?
Well, all I would say about that, we are at a different angle, aren't we? I mean, my initial reaction was penalty. And then when he didn't give it and he gave a corner, I thought, well, at least he is nearer than me. I mean, we're sat 50, 60 yards away. He stood about 3 feet away.
But surely the view in the press box is all that matters, surely.
Well, I was thinking, all the Scarborough fans who were about 100 yards away all screamed penalty, and all the Marine fans who were about 20 yards away screamed no penalty. So you can only go by the referee. I honestly do feel for referees. They can't win.
No, that's true. They can't. But is this your first Dudeson Cup final?
Do you know, it's a good question, that. I'm not sure whether I've been to one before. Did Geisley play in a Dudeson Cup final a few years ago against Ilkeston?
They did indeed. I can't remember who was off the top of my head.
I was there. It was played at Curzon Ashton and Geisley won.
Well, this is going to be my question. The last couple of years we've had it at Edgeley Park, and the atmosphere's been a bit, what can I put it, reserve match style.
The air is not the same tonight as it has been at Edgeley Park.
That's
anyway.
True. Right. The stadium tonight, the atmosphere is brilliant, and I think that I think it's
is that because it's a bit smaller than Edgeley Park?
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to say. I think I prefer it at this kind of size ground. I think because obviously Scarborough are a former league club, so they're going to bring a lot of people here. But there's a bit more of a better atmosphere than it's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get. People forget as well, this ground was a conference ground at one point in the last 10 years
it was.
The layout's pretty much the same since there, so. Granted, the attendances weren't the best of Fars in the division that year, but still, when the teams came down there, the atmosphere would have attended. Obviously, they wouldn't have been allowed to go up if we didn't have opportunity. The ground wasn't good enough, obviously.
No, it's one of the smaller grounds, and I mean, they could only get crowds of about 1,000. I remember seeing Oxford United here and Milton Keynes Dons. York City played here as well. York City might well be playing at Harrogate next season, you know, that sort of thing. How embarrassing will that be for them? But you're right, it has engendered a good atmosphere here, partly because it's small. You know, the lights are on now, thankfully, as well.
And because it's cold, the only thing you can do to warm up is just jump around and sing, and I think that helps. What's your take on the Northern Premier League more generally? Obviously, Darlington, we speak of league clubs, Darlington have gone up into the National North this season. Joining them tomorrow could be former league club Workington or upstart Salford City.
I know. Could you imagine if Lowestoft stay in? Could you imagine them having to go to Workington on a Tuesday night? It'd be absolutely crazy, wouldn't it? My take is that Darlington are obviously a former football league club who command big crowds. Last week they got 1,700, didn't they? Mm-hmm. When they won by about 7-0 against somebody. Blyth Spartans, I saw, funnily enough, with Swampy the other week. We saw them at Hyde and they scored four times in the second half, and I thought they looked quite a decent team, so I was surprised that they lost at home to Workington
as well.
It sounded
like a belting game, though.
Yeah, 4-3. Sounded terrific. so I personally, because I've mentioned my connection with Bradford Park Avenue, we're a former football league club, and you mentioned Edgeley Park, Stockport County. I love to see those sort of clubs coming back. So I'm happy for Workington. Salford City, as you say, and they're not Bradford Park Avenue out of the cup this year, so don't expect me to be too enthusiastic about them. But I think Darlington will certainly be a good addition to National League North.
Absolutely. And National North next season is going to be
something else. With Kidderminster Harriers coming down as well.
Who are staying professional, I believe, as well. So it's going to be the last of the big spenders, I feel, next season. But also in Division 1 North, the playoff finals tomorrow, there's another famous name in that one. But enough about Spennymoor. Northwich Victoria as well. What's your take on?
Well, I went to the Drill Field, the oldest ground in the country. I think it was, wasn't it? Northwich Victoria. Yeah, I'd like to see them come up again. They've had terrible times, haven't they?
Yes.
And of course, kicked out of the home that they had, and it's so many clubs. It's like Hereford United going all the way down and appearing in the FA Vase.
I interviewed their chairman of their supporters trust this week, and they've got the FA Vase. They've got 17,000 fans going to that one, and a bull.
But the bull's only going to be allowed outside the stadium and not inside the fan.
I think it's Salford safety gone mad, John, I'll be honest.
But 17,000 for them. Grimsby will take 16,000. Halifax will take 10 or 15,000, because they've both been played on the same day.
Yes.
So that people get good value for money, two matches for one.
Where do you stand on that? It seems to be working quite well this year, that
idea. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens on that day and whether people, after the first game, I mean, Morpeth won't have many there, and it's quite a long journey home for them. So I could imagine once that first game has finished, a lot of the Hereford fans might stay, not many of the Morpeth fans will stay. So it's going to be interesting how that does work out. But I think it's an innovation, it's worth trying, isn't it?
It'd be rude not to mention Division 1 South, the playoff final in that one. Colville Town against Shawlane Aquaforce. Shawlane, obviously, not far from here. Last of the big spenders this year.
They've spent a lot of money, haven't they? And they've got quite a few of our old players as well from Bradford. So in a way, I'd like to see them. And of course, they play at Barnsley Cricket Club, don't they?
Yes.
That's where they actually play. I don't know anything at all about Colville. So I'm a Yorkshire boy. I've got to go for Shirley.
And we'll balance that out and say Colville, cracking club, James.
Yeah, cracking club again. I've seen this before kick-off. Colville, they've been third pretty much the entire season. Team jumps along the
line. Shirley have been second pretty much all season.
Yeah,
and they come from near Leicester City.
Exactly. Well, there we go. That says everything.
But isn't it wonderful talking about these clubs from different parts of the country?
Yeah, exactly.
And some clubs coming back. And good support here tonight for Scarborough. They were a bit derisory about the Marine contingent. There was not too many from Marine.
It's a long trip from
four coaches worth of Marines.
It's a long trip from Christmas. Yeah. But just to say as well, I mean, I cover the Southern League as well. And tomorrow, bank holiday Monday, we've got clubs like AFC Russian Diamonds in a semi final. And there's so many clubs on the way back. So many, there's various Phoenix clubs.
The Herefords and
the Ketterings and that kind of thing. They're all making their way back.
I think part of that is the fact that they are traditional, and a traditional club can always attract decent players. And everybody thinks they've got a bit of money, maybe, or they've got the potential to have money. And some of the smaller clubs, a bit frightened of them, maybe. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, I saw Kettering playing the FA Cup against Oldham Athletic not that long ago. And then you think how far down they've gone. I saw Rushton and Diamonds. Their old Max Griggs, wasn't it? The Doc Martins man who ran them. So I think it is good to see these clubs coming back. I don't like to see the demise of anybody, really.
But it's great to see. You've got these traditional clubs, and then you've got Shirley and Aquaforce, who've only known promotions.
never heard of them 2 years ago, have you?
Promotion after promotion. Anyway, what's your prediction for the second half? This is penalties, isn't it? It's nailed on.
Yeah. Because I've got to go to Manchester Airport to meet my wife at 1:30 in the morning, I'm quite happy to go to extra time and penalties. The longer I can stay out of the airport, the better. I think you might be right, you know. I think it could well be a shootout.
But it wouldn't be a surprise. That's happened every year since we've started.
It has,
hasn't
yeah.
It? It's our third one we've done. So
downside, I think it's straight to penalties as well. Last couple of years.
I'll take that. I'm not doing it.
You're a Dukes and Cup final regular, are you? Every year.
Well, normally it's on our doorstep at Stockport.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And this year we were expecting it to be Stockport. So we said to Alan Alcott, we went, oh, yeah, we'll cover it again for you. Then he says Farsley. I'm like, there great. You
it's okay. Your first visit here, is it?
It's my first visit to this particular ground. Obviously, because the Cover FC Radio, we've gone all over the shop over the years, but yeah, it's I like grounds like this. Yeah. I don't like the pie queue.
No,
I didn't have any tea, and I thought I'm going to have pie and peas, a nice traditional West Yorkshire pie and peas.
Come to Bradford Park Avenue, we've got the best pie and peas in the country.
Last time I went to Bradford Park Avenue a couple of months ago, the pies ran out. There was an absolute storm.
Although saying that, Glossop, I've got an argument for that at the moment as well. In fairness,
what for the best pies?
Yes,
tour de Gainsborough.
Just before you go, just your views on the Barwell burger. Have you ever sampled the Barwell burger?
Sorry, no.
Okay,
but sorry about that.
Next time you're in that Leicestershire area, go to Barwell and try the burger.
Okay,
they are sensational.
Good tip. Thank you very much,
John. Thank you for
coming on.
And
enjoy the second half.
Thank you very much.
It's end to end stuff. And wherever you are, good evening. I hope you're enjoying the commentary here at Farsley Celtic on a rather cold evening, but some good voices from the Scarborough fans and indeed from the Marine fans, and a good crowd here this evening. That's what cup finals are all about. It's a ball play through the middle, but defended well by Scarborough, and then it's a decent ball over the top left hand side. Scarborough now can converge upon it into the penalty area. The ball goes first time. It's a good ball there. It beats one, beats two, first time. Oh, what a finish and what a goal. It really was well taken there, and they jump into the crowd, the Scarborough crowd. And well, it was all about the ball, this left hand side. There was
Callum Robinson,
and they played it on the left hand side. The ball came in, it missed two players.
It did.
It came kindly, and there was a really, really good finish for the number seven, Niall Flint. I think it was the man who got the final touch from about 18 yards out. He's hit it to the bottom left hand side of the goalkeeper, right hand side of the goalkeeper. Nothing he could do. And against a run of play, you've got to say Scarborough have taken the lead in this cup final.
But they've always shown good width to the play, haven't they? You know, the lad on this left-hand flank here done excellent to get into the final third, and a great delivery that was left by the first two players, Block being one of them, and Callum just run straight onto it and put it right into the far corner. Excellent.
It's 1-0 to Scarborough. Have Marine got anything left?
Get it down this line and flick it on, and let's get in behind them. Come on.
Well
done.
What can they do? Well, the ball flicked over the top. Now is an opportunity to chase on there. Can the 12 get in front of him? Oh, referee, the linesman's give it as a red card as well.
Sent him off. Lyles is off.
And it's not a penalty. It's on the edge of the area, and Lyles has been sent off. Well, Lyles had no hesitation. He realises what he's done. He's straight off there. The one thing I'm looking for at the moment, left-hand side here, where the Scarborough, there's a border collie who's actually kicking every ball, and it's lying down, just waiting to pounce. If it's left its lead, it's going to be part of the game. But 10 men of Scarborough now, and, you know, it's a shame, because Dean Lyles is an absolutely tremendous game.
I'll tell you what, have a look at Hesse here now. He's lining this ball up here, and he's got a tremendous left peg on him.
Well, Hesse and indeed Stephen Wainwright are over this ball. And for me, Hesse's the man. He's going to step over this left-footed. What does he do? When he slips, he comes to the goal. It's a goal!
Yes,
the goalkeeper fumbles. And Coughlin then basically just takes advantage of it. And he heads it in from about half a yard out. It was all about the power. You said, Roy.
Yep.
He has an absolute terrific, terrific shot on him. But he's done exactly that. Nothing the keeper could do. He actually slipped as he took the ball. He slipped as he kicked it. But he still made the goalkeeper work. And there it was, in the back of the net, one apiece.
And it's Bellew who scored the goal, I think.
And we've played 3 minutes. We've got 1 minute of this additional time to play. The goalkeeper plays a quick ball out for Marine. And it's the man on the ball now is Liam Goulding. Goulding now sets himself. It's a long ball, and that's the kind of ball that you want at this stage of the game, right to the penalty area.
What a lovely goal, stunning goal.
And now Mitchley, you've got to say
Mitchley,
Danny Mitchley there was an app. The ball was played on this near touchline. It was a long looping ball, a great ball in fairness
by Goulding.
It was controlled by Mitchley. He brought it down and he just bent it, and he watched the ball go into the top corner. Nothing the goalkeeper could do. Nothing at all that Scarborough are going to be able to do. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful goal. They're absolutely going mental on the right-hand side, all the Marine fans. And eventually one of the Marine substitutes gets himself over there to congratulate his team.
To be honest, I mean, they did a very similar move, didn't they, before when Wainwright delivered the ball, and his miscontrol of the ball as it came in just led to a rushed shot, shall we say. This time the ball was delivered in from a similar sort of area, maybe a little bit deeper, by Goulding, came to him, his first touch was excellent, and he just bent the ball right round the keeper into the far corner of the goal. Absolutely superb.
It was like Ray Wilkins-esque in a lot of games that he played. He just bent it. There's nothing the goalkeeper could do at all. And that is the end of the game. And that is the Deuce and Cup final won by Marine AFC. And, what a way to win a game of football. Matty Bloor still talking to the referee. Not happy at all with a number of decisions, no doubt, as the captain. And you would expect a captain to be disappointed. But really, what a very, very good game of football we've had this evening.
Either team could have won this, couldn't they?
Yeah.
To be honest, Swampy. I mean, they've both put their efforts in. They've both had an entertaining first half and second half. They competed really, really well. It's just took a little bit of magic on that final finish off Midgley to decide the game.
Well, there's a number of players still surrounding the referee, in all fairness. And, there's nothing you can do now. The game is over, unfortunately, and absolutely tremendous game there, and nicely the Scarborough fans onto the pitch congratulating and commiserating with their own players there, because it has been a really, really entertaining game of football, and a good game of football at that. And either team, as you rightly say, could have won this game.
Yeah, they've done really well. I'm just getting a little bit worried about where this flight's going to end up.
There's a young lady that caught there's Lego Ed. Let's take a quick nick around. Oh, you nearly nabbed your head there. Lego Ed.
Okay, all right. It's bullying, that, mate.
It is bullying, yes, Ben, and you deserve bullying.
Like I said, we're going to be there for another couple of minutes, and then head over to the MPL Facebook group's Periscope on Twitter.
For what, Ben? For what? What's happening on Periscope?
For the presentation.
Oh, you're going to be able to see the presentation live?
Yes, on the Periscope. Hey. So stop listening to the radio and head over to the MPL Facebook group.
We can do both, Ben.
No, because we're going off air in a couple of minutes.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, right. I've not got well, enough money in the meter.
Okay, fair enough. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you've
got
been
4 minutes left.
If you've been listening. Oh, you say that, and then you build you up, and then you go, oh, by the way, we've still
just
got 4 minutes.
Just before we go, just a quick word from you two for the MPL playoff finals tomorrow. Firstly, your thoughts on Salford Workington?
It's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a cracking, entertaining game for starters.
I've got a feeling that Workington might do them. I'm not saying I want that to happen. I mean, both teams have played some great quality football this season. But at the same time, Workington, to beat Blyth 4-3 on Blyth's turf, yeah, they're going to be real. They travelled down today, I believe, and they've had a whole day, you know, in that respect. It's going to be really, really interesting. Salford themselves, cracking squad, great footballing team. Really entertaining game of football. Hard to call, but I'm going to say Workington.
Wow. Unlucky Workington. It was going so well for you. Division 1 South, Shaw Lane against Colville. Colville been there before. Shaw Lane have only known promotion in their history. What do you reckon?
I'm going to say simply...
I feel it's about time that Colville broke the duck.
Yeah.
That's my feelings. And, you know, all the best to all four teams, to be honest, because you know they've had a tremendous season. It's been great football in all three divisions, and I feel that, you know, the better teams been the ones that deserve to be at the top.
And the last one, Spennymoor against Northwich Victoria.
Ooh,
I think Spennymoor have got the impetus. It's on home turf. It's going to be a cracking game again, and I'm just going to go with the home team there. It was absolutely, it'd be a great game of football, that it really will. Again, two magnificent footballing teams, and they're all there for a reason. But that's, you know, yes, as a prediction, put my head on the block and say,
I'm going for Workington, I'm going for Colville, and I'm going for Northwich.
Oh, well, I'm doing the same, but I'm going for Spennymoor.
So that has been our EvoStick MPL show special, recorded here live in front of a live studio audience at Farsley Celtic, where Marine have won by 2-1 in a cracking match against Scarborough Athletic. And your closing thoughts, gentlemen, you've got 2 minutes.
Been an excellent game of football, as I say. Really enjoyed it. It's been
really entertainment.
They were so evenly matched, both teams. They really were. Great support from both teams as well. And it took a wonder goal to finish the game, and it was an absolute magnificent goal. We talk about Mitchley's prowess of actually being able to score. He really had only one other one good chance. The ball just went away from him slightly, bobbled, and it went across goal. But that was a world class finish. It was nonchalant, it was such a quality. Brought it down after a great ball by Goulding, brought it down, just took one touch and then just bent it. And as soon as he touched it, he knew it was in.
I just felt it took a little bit of a deflection off a defender, that it gave it a little bit more height, which unsighted the keeper and made him a little bit, shall we say, hesitant actually going for it. But what a tremendous game of football.
And out of the three finals we've done now in the past three seasons, this one's been the best, hasn't it?
Definitely. But it just shows us that this competition is worth winning, it's worth being in, because it's been a great final, well supported, great hospitality here at Farsley. And you know, the Dootson is a cup competition that everyone wants to win now.
Listen, it's Berkey. It's the League Cup. Why shouldn't you be proud of winning the League Cup?
Just a reminder, tomorrow from Moor Lane, you can listen to Whitby Town Radio, you can listen to Amish Radio, you can listen to 26-0, and of course you can listen to Radio Cumbria for all your playoff final needs. And I'm sure there'll be other updates as well from the other two playoff finals. But from everyone here, thank you to James Hayes, thank you to John Helm, my goodness, thank you to Swamper, and thank you to Roy Sewell. This has been EvoStick NPL Show Live. Good night.
Good evening.
EvoStick NPL Show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.